Ukraine security issue.
On July 18th, the 145th day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to Russian invaders, its armed forces continued to hold the line while actively destroying Russian depots, command posts, and rear infrastructure and inflicting heavy losses on Russian personnel. Commenting on official reports about nearly 30 Russian ammunition and fuel depots destroyed over the past 2 weeks, Dmytro Snigirev, a Ukrainian military expert, told Ukrainian radio. Over the past months, the 76th Airborne Division, the 1st Tank Army, and the 15th Motorized Infantry Division have practically ceased to exist. They were the most combat-capable units of the Russian army. We can expect the Donetsk region to remain the epicenter of fighting until the end of the summer. This can be seen from the Russian forces' attempts to break through the Ukrainian lines of defense near Slovyansk and Kramatorsk, said Dmytro Snigirev. The Russian forces have so far failed to take control of 2 villages in the Luhansk region and so cannot report to Moscow that the mission is completed. Instead, the Ukrainian defenders continue to decimate Russian troops and material. On Monday, Serhii Haidai, head of the Luhansk Region Military Administration, reported that they had destroyed several Russian ammunition depots and a command post. As a result, according to him, the intensity of enemy fire has reduced. At the same time, the unfortunate civilians who did not flee the city of Severodonetsk before it was occupied are barely surviving. It's a real humanitarian disaster, and it's getting worse, said Severodonetsk mayor Alexander Stuk. There is no electricity. It's only thanks to generators that there is power supply in some places. As to natural gas supplies, all the collectors are out of order. So even if they manage somehow to redirect gas from other pipelines, it will be impossible to supply it to the badly damaged apartment buildings. The same is about water supply. All the water purification systems are destroyed and need complete restoration, said Alexander Stryuk. The Russian army continues to mercilessly shell Ukrainian towns and villages in the Donbas. A Russian artillery shell struck a two-story house in the town of Toretsk, Donetsk region, in the small hours of Monday, when people were asleep inside. According to the state emergency service, rescuers removed 5 bodies, 3 survivors from the rubble. One of them died on the way to hospital. Later in the day, 60 artillery rockets struck the industrial city of Nikopol, Dnipropetrovsk region. Valentin Reznichenko, head of the Dnipropetrovsk region military administration, the strike resulted in numerous civilian casualties. Nearly a dozen private houses were destroyed, and the main gas and water pipelines, a hospital, an industrial facility, and a river port were damaged. In Kharkiv city and nearby villages, the situation also remains stably tense, as they remain under constant shelling. So are the numerous villages in the Chernihiv and Sumy regions located near the Russian border. In the south of the country, the situation also remains tense. In the early hours of Monday, the Black Sea port city of Mykolaiv was again struck by Russian missiles that hit a car salon, an agricultural machinery store, and private houses on the outskirts. 4 Russian missiles launched from Sukhoi 35 jets over the Black Sea targeted the Odessa region. 1 was destroyed by the Ukrainian air defense. 2 hit a military infrastructure facility, causing a large fire, and 1 hit the bridge across the Dniester Firth. In the Kherson region, the villages liberated from Russian invaders remain under constant fire. In many of them, there is not a single undamaged house or critical infrastructure facility. Meanwhile, the invaders continue to fortify their defensive positions with steel and concrete blocks and structures. Ukraine calls on the international community to create a special tribunal to bring the Russian top political and military leadership to justice for their war crimes against Ukraine. According to Justice Minister Denis Malyuska, there has to be an international agreement with the key governments so that the tribunal's decisions are recognized and implemented everywhere. At present, there are difficulties in creating it now.
Наші союзники нас безумовно підтримують у війні і підтримують меседж, що росіяни коять воєнні злочини.
Our allies and partners support us in the war and the idea of bringing the Russian to justice for their war crimes. The tribunal we are talking about has never been created without the UN Security Council's decision. And it is pretty obvious that as long as Russia remains its member and enjoys the veto right, it will block any steps to create such a tribunal. So we need to create a mechanism for launching the tribunal without the UN Security Council's decision. And it is currently the key and the most challenging task for us. As soon as such a mechanism is agreed with our international partners, the ball will start rolling very fast. The next step after signing the international agreement is launching the tribunal's work. I mean the premises, the staff, and then the hearings and verdicts proper. All these procedures are going to be purely technical because we plan to create a tribunal mainly to investigate one crime, Russia's aggression, said Denis Maluska. Another Briton, John Harding, who was captured by Russian proxies, has been held in the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic. The BBC reported, referring to Harding's video interview with a Russian TV presenter. In the video, he says he could face the death penalty and turns to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to facilitate his release. Harding was captured in May when Ukrainian units he was fighting with at the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol were forced to surrender. Harding had been fighting in the Donbas since 2018. He previously told the BBC he had traveled there to use his skills as a combat medic to help in the fight against Russian proxies. Last week, Paul Ure, a British aid worker, died while being held by Russian proxies in the Donbas. The United Kingdom laid the blame for his death on Russia.